All right, everyone, buckle up, because today's deep dive is taking us straight into the belly of the beast, Italian bureaucracy. But before you click away thinking, boring, trust me, this is about to get interesting. We're talking data governance, the EU, and some serious implications for, well, basically everyone.
Yeah, you're not kidding. These documents you sent over, let me tell you, they might look like they are written in ancient Etruscan, but hidden inside is basically the instruction manual for how Italy's handling this whole new wave of EU data regulations.
It's true, it's all right here, buried in this thing from the Gazzetta Ufficiale della Repubblica Italiana, which I'm told is basically their version of the Federal Register. So we're talking official, set in stone stuff here, and specifically how they're implementing EU Regulation 2022-868 on data governance.
And that, my friend, is a big deal.
Huge! This isn't some obscure technicality either. This has major implications for anyone and everyone who touches data, which is, let's face it, all of us.
And that's what makes this Italian legislative decree, number 144 from October 7th, 2024, so interesting. Because it's not just about big tech, though they'll definitely be feeling the heat.
Okay, so if it's not just Facebook and Google sweating over this, who is it for?
We're talking every single organization in Italy, big or small, that handles data in any way. Research labs, publishing findings, small businesses with customer info, universities working on international projects, you name it. This decree sets the rules of the road for all of them.
Wow, okay, so no pressure there. And of course, because this is serious business, they brought in the big guns to make sure everyone plays by the rules, right?
You bet. They've got the Agenzia per Italia Digitale, or AGD for short, basically playing the role of data watchdog. Their job is to make sure this whole thing gets implemented properly, especially when it comes to sharing non-personal data outside the EU.
So, not so much about my Aunt Maria's Facebook photos, but more about, say, those massive data sets used for like scientific research or market analysis, right?
Exactly. So imagine you're a small startup in Rome and you want to collaborate with, oh, I don't know, a Silicon Valley tech giant. And you need to share some data as part of the deal.
Things are already getting complicated.
Right. Well, now the HED steps in and says, hold your horses. We need to make sure this data transfer meets all these strict EU standards, which might mean getting consent from everyone involved, ensuring the data is anonymized, or even putting limits on how that US company can use the data once it crosses the pond.
Man, talk about a bureaucratic maze. But hey, I guess that's the price you pay for data protection these days. And what about universities? They deal with a ton of data, especially with all the research collaborations happening.
You're telling me. Think about a medical research project, right? They're working with patient data. Even if it's anonymized, they still need to be super careful about how they share that with institutions outside Italy. And the penalties for messing up are nothing to sneeze at.
Okay, so let's talk consequences. What are we looking at here if someone decides to play fast and loose with these data regulations?
Let's just say you better have a good lawyer on speed dial. We're talking fines of up to 100,000 or 6% of your global turnover, whichever one hurts more. It's enough to make anyone think twice.
Yikes, yeah, I'd be hitting the books on data governance pretty hard if I were them. So we've gone from like the wild west of international data sharing to Italian universities. I gotta say, that feels like a pretty sharp turn. What do those two things even have to do with each other?
Well, you see, it's all connected, right? Whether we're talking about data flying across borders or how universities get funded, it boils down to systems and honestly how transparent those systems really are. And get this, the next document on the pile. It's a deep dive into the surprisingly twisty-turny world of how Italian universities get their funding.
Okay, now you've got my attention. I'm not gonna lie. I've never really stopped to think about how universities in other countries actually get their money. Is there like a secret vault somewhere in Rome with a giant pile of euros just sitting there?
Not exactly a vault full of euros, but there is this, let's call it, interesting little concept they call the Costo Standard Unitario di Formazione per Studente in Corso. Yeah, it's a mouthful, I know, but stick with me here.
Okay, you're speaking my language now. Hit me with it.
Basically, it means the cost of educating one single student in a specific field of study at an Italian university. Sounds simple enough, right? But how they actually calculate this standard cost is, well, let's just say it's more complicated than you might think.
Really? Huh. See, I would have thought it was just adding up tuition fees and calling it a day. What makes it so complicated?
Well, for starters, tuition fees are just one piece of the puzzle. And often not even the biggest piece. See, the Italian government, they give a lot of money to universities, and this whole standard cost thing, that's their way of figuring out how much each university should actually get. and they factor in everything. I mean everything. We're talking faculty salaries, the cost of keeping the lights on, lab equipment, heck, even stuff like regional economic differences.
Wait, hold on. Back up a sec. Regional economic differences. So you're telling me a student in, like, Milan is somehow more expensive to educate than a student in, I don't know, Naples?
Bingo. You've got it. Think about it. The cost of living in a place like Milan, the average salaries people expect, even just the cost of basic supplies, it all varies. Sometimes a lot, depending on where you are in Italy. And all those differences, yep, they're all part of this funding calculation. And it's all laid out nice and neat in a ministerial decree from August 7th, 2024. That bad boy sets the funding model for all Italian universities from 2024 to 2026.
Okay, all right, so let's crack open this decree then. Lay it on me. What are some of the more, shall we say, interesting tidbits they managed to cram in there?
Okay, so one that always gets me is how they figure professor salaries into this whole thing. Now, they don't just use some kind of national average. Oh, no, the cost of a professor. You ready for this? It's actually based on the average salary of a professor of the first level, or professore di fascia, if you want to be fancy, at that specific university.
Wait, so a university actually gets more government funding just because they decided to pay their professors more? How does that make any sense?
Well, it's all about reflecting the actual on-the-ground costs of running a university in a particular place, you see. If a university in Milan has to shell out bigger paychecks to attract top-notch professors because the job market there is so competitive, well, that's a real expense they got to cover, right? So the funding formula takes that into account.
Man, that is wild. I'm starting to see how this whole standard cost thing can turn into a real head-scratcher in a hurry. What else is buried in this formula?
Oh, we're just getting started. It gets even more nitty-gritty, believe it or not. See, there isn't just one standard student cost. Nope, they've got different standard student numbers depending on what you're actually studying.
Different student numbers. Okay, now I'm really lost. Why do they do that?
Because, my friend, not all fields of study are created equal. Some fields just require way more resources than others, right? It's just reality.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You've got a medical school with those fancy simulation centers, labs that probably cost more than my house, not to mention all those clinical rotations they got to do.
Yeah.
Then you've got, say, the philosophy department, where they mostly just need lecture halls and maybe a good library. It just costs a lot more to train a doctor than a philosopher.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So they're trying to make things fair, or at least fairer, by recognizing that a student is just a student, at least when it comes to how much it actually costs to educate them.
Now you're getting it, and it doesn't stop there.
Right.
Oh, no, they've got this whole other layer of complexity they call the paraequation mechanism.
The what now? Paraequation? Sounds like some kind of medieval torture device.
Don't worry, it's not as scary as it sounds.
Yeah.
Paraequation is just a fancy pants way of saying the government steps in to even out any unfairness caused by those regional economic differences we were talking about.
So a university in a, let's say, less wealthy region might get a little extra love from the government to make up for the fact that they can't pull in as much private funding or charge an arm and a leg for tuition.
You got it. They also factor in the economic backgrounds of the students themselves. So a university with a higher percentage of students from low-income families might get a little boost to make sure those students have what they need to succeed.
Wow, they really did think of everything, didn't they? I gotta be honest, I went into this whole thing expecting Italian bureaucracy to be all about red tape and inefficiency, but this is actually pretty impressive. They're really trying to build a system that's actually fair, you know, transparent, even with all the complexity.
That's the beauty of really digging into these things, isn't it?
Mm.
We often have these assumptions about how things work, but when you take the time to actually look at the details, it's a whole lot more nuanced than we think. And sometimes, just sometimes, you find out that other countries are doing things in a way that makes you stop and think, huh, maybe we could learn a thing or two from that.
You know what? You're right. I never thought I'd be saying this about Italian bureaucracy of all things, but I gotta give them props. They're really trying to find that balance, you know, trying to keep data safe, but also making room for innovation and making sure universities are funded fairly.
Yeah, it really highlights something we often forget, I think.
Yeah.
These systems we're talking about, the ones that deal with our data, our education, our access to opportunities, they're rarely as simple as we make them out to be. And when you really get down to it, they reflect a country's values, what they prioritize.
It makes you wonder, doesn't it? What can we learn from how the Italians are approaching this whole thing?
Absolutely. Are we doing enough to protect data privacy? Mm. Are we fostering collaboration and innovation at the same time? And what about our universities? Are they getting the support they need? Are our funding models transparent? Are they actually fair?
Big questions, man. Big questions. And you know what? I think those are the perfect questions to leave our listeners with today as we wrap up this deep dive. We started with what? A bunch of dense Italian legal documents, and somehow we ended up knee-deep in the wacky world of university funding formulas. Who knew bureaucracy could be this interesting?
Hey, it's all about knowing where to look.
Ain't that the truth? And on that note, we'll leave you with this. Think about the systems you interact with every day, the ones that shape your life here in our own backyard. Are they transparent? Are they working? And most importantly, do they represent the values we say we believe in? Something to think about. Until next time.